After the hour, hello again, Lou Epton, along with our very special guest of the morning, Jordan Maxwell. We're here, coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas, 731-1230, and if you're far away, it's 702. Jordan, I've got to ask you something. It just dawns on me, all right, because we've gone over some of these subjects in the past. The Washington Monument, a phallic symbol, according to what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, church steeples. Phallic symbols, according to what you're saying, right?
Yep.
All right, look. The sexuality of this world has been around since, well, I got to believe even before we came along as the human, okay?
Well, nothing better has replaced it, no.
Okay. What's the big deal? I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, everybody is one or the other, although they're now trying to, you know, convert into thirds and fourths, and who knows.
But
there's
still
there's
involved.
Nothing new about it. Why is it such a major situation insofar as our statuary and our monuments and all of this?
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I believe that our concepts and our understanding in the Western world, in the whole one half of the earth that is under the Judaic-Christian system of theology has a incorrect understanding of both theology, God, the Bible, government, taxes, and everything else. I think that we are an ill-informed and unread people. And it has been said many years ago that America is not an ignorant place. It is very well informed. The only problem is 90% of what we know isn't true. The problem is that we don't understand, and therefore I think also that we call down evil, as the Bible says. We call down evil upon things God has made, meaning that we attribute badness to the wrong things. I mean, we're told in the Bible that there would come a time when that which is good would be made to look bad, and that which is bad will be made to look good. There is a deception going on.
Ah.
Well, if that is true, and I assume that to be true, it's in the Bible, then most of what we consider to be right and politically correct and religiously correct must be wrong. Therefore, the things that we consider to be wrong and evil very well could be right. Now we start looking at things which we consider to be correct and lawfully correct, like income taxes. We find out, no, it's not only not lawfully correct, it's an insidious manipulation of our brain.
Yeah.
We have no idea in the world how much we've been lied to and deceived. So I'm merely pointing out different, and I could go on for hours, as you well know, about all kinds of words and terms and things that we have been deceived into believing.
All right, but now you narrowed it to the Western world. Are you suggesting for the moment that in other parts of the world they're not using, just as an example, phallic symbolism?
No. No, that's where it came from, actually. All of these symbols came from the East. Like the ancient people said, the sun rises in the East. The light of the world comes from the East. And consequently, all of these symbols came out of the ancient East. Christianity, Judaism, the Bible, these are all from the Middle East, Near East, Far East. The East has given us all of this. We are merely the recipients of the light of the ancients. And so consequently, yeah, all of what we believe has come from the East. All I'm saying is that if you're concerned about being right and correct before God, then you had better go back and start reading and studying and understanding how much we don't know. You need to look at the laws about taxes and find out what the real story is. You need to understand where courts come from. Why do you have lawyers? What do these words mean? Why do we call it graduation? Why do you go to court? Why, you know, why any of this? We need to examine words and terms and start educating ourselves to where things come from, because the Bible clearly says, and I think it's true, that the only way you're going to honor God or the divine in the universe is in spirit and truth, meaning your particular religious belief is not going to fly. You need to do some homework. You need to go back and find out, and this is true for Islam, it's true for Judaism, Christianity, and all the other religions of the world. All the concepts that we have in our land, we're just very ill-informed. And I think that's one of the major problems why we get in so much trouble, because we don't have leaders, we have misleaders.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We don't have chiefs, we have a lot of mischiefs. Let me ask where the word came from.
Okay, before
well,
we go to...
consequently...
Yeah, go ahead.
I just think that it's an idea, an important idea at this particular time in the history of this country, for people to slow down and back up and say, wait a minute, let's find out where we're going here. What do these words mean? What do these symbols mean?
It'll never happen, Jordan.
Well,
by the way, you left out Buddhism.
Oh. Well, Buddhism, I think, is, I have a...
Well, I mean, you mentioned Muslim, you mentioned Jewish, you mentioned Christianity, you forgot the Buddhists.
Oh, okay. Well, we'd better throw them in.
All right. Gloria's online, patiently waiting. Let's see what she wants to add to the program. Gloria, good morning. You're on with our guest, Jordan Maxwell.
Well, good morning, Lou, and good morning, Jordan.
Good morning.
I've talked to you on your own show, and Hakeem was on there about the harbors under the Sphinx. To understand what the symbolism means, you have to go back to the Book of Theity, whom they call Thoth. And in it, he says that God is the all in all, and everything that exists exists in this being, and it has no extension, no space, no time. All that is created in it. But it gives first principles that there is gender in all things. And this doesn't mean just sex. It means that there is a masculine and a feminine side to everything.
Yes, yes.
And the masculine,
I tend to think you're right.
Yeah, the masculine side is mind. The feminine side is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the obelisk, being a Felix symbol, is masculine. It is the focusing, penetrating point of mind. And the... primordial waters, the reflection pool, refers to the energy that this penetrating point of mind focuses into and creates polarities.
Well,
you have the two genders, mind and energy. And
let me clarify why I do what I do, because I think this is a good time for it. I am trying, as Lou and other people have, to get individuals and people to start questioning everything. Question authority, question what you believe, question what you've been told. And, of course, this particular audience is painfully well aware of how much deception has gone on and is going on today all around us. And I'm merely saying, extend that inquisitiveness is to find out what things mean. Let's take it all the way up to God. Let's go all the way back into the ancient times and start researching and finding out what words meant, terms meant, because if there is any truth in Christianity or the Bible, and if there's any value and truth in it, that we need to get ourselves straight with the divine, then I would suggest the first place you might want to start is start reading it right. Go back and read the thing correctly. I mean,
I believe the Christian churches just grabbed the old Amen doctrine, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah,
and
well,
even
I
Jesus
know.
Refers to God as the great Amen.
You know, we hear a lot about the New Age, and this is a subject very big with me. We're told that anything that smacks of the New Age is of the devil and evil. In point of fact, correctly understood in the Bible, the whole idea of the New Age is from the Bible. That's where the idea came from. That's where it germinated from. It's from the Bible. And when you go back and you start looking at scriptures and start looking up the words, everywhere in the New Testament especially is the term end of the world. And in Matthew 28, 20, it says, the last scripture says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, Jesus said, I am with you even to the end of the world. Then you go to the reference work and look up world, and you will see it's a Greek word, aeon, meaning age. And all the reference works, if you go to a Bible seminary and look up the words in the seminary library, in all the reference works, look up world, it will tell you it's a Greek word meaning age, Therefore, we're talking about the old age and the coming new age.
On that, I got to hold you, Jordan. I'm sorry. Put it off. Get to that phone now. Call 877-888-5192.
The only one of his kind, telling it like he sees it, Lou Epton.
All right, back we are. 26 minutes to go in the program this morning. Lou Epton, our very special guest, if you joined us late, Jordan Maxwell. Coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV out of Las Vegas, he reaches us at 731-1230, and if you're far away, 702. Jordan, we are back, and Gloria has left us, and you were looking to complete your comments regarding her questions. And if
well, I don't even remember what it was, because I got so many other things running through my mind right now. One thing I want to, let's go on to this. In Genesis 1-2, the Bible says in Genesis 1-2, well, first of all, we go to 1-1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that's
right.
Not what it says in Hebrew. So you better go back and do your research on that and find out it does not say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And second, it says, and the earth was without form and void. That's not what it says in Hebrew.
What does it
that's
say
the way
in
it
Hebrew?
It says it in English. And as I said, the King James Translated Committee were great when it came to the King's English. They didn't know that much about Hebrew.
Okay.
But if you go back and start doing the research on and the you would be surprised how many reference works there are in any good theological library, any good theological library, and go to these seminaries, and they have huge libraries, and start looking up reference works on these words, and you will find it's a whole different understanding than what we've been told. Well, the same thing in taxes. I mean, the same thing in virtually every facet of our life.
Unfortunately.
It's different than what you thought it was.
Yeah. What does it say then?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the Hebrew, it says, in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And Elohim has been mistranslated by the English to say God. No, it doesn't say God. It says Elohim. And in Hebrew, Elohim means, quote, the gods, plural, end quote. So consequently,
really?
Right off the bat, Genesis 1:1 is now creating a problem, because the real Hebrew says, in the beginning, the gods created the heavens and the earth. Not God, the gods. And consequently,
but the Bible also says,
you
shall hold no god before me.
And, well, yeah. See, he didn't say that there were no other gods. He said, don't have any other gods before me. Now, after me, I don't care what you do, but out of all of the different gods, I want you to keep me up there first. I'm running for president. It doesn't mean that there aren't others, but I'm going to be the head one.
Okay.
And other nations said, no, we like this one instead of you. So they said, okay, so those were pagan gods. The word pagan simply was a Latin word. When we hear that bandied around all the time, that this people are pagan people, the word pagan simply means people of the like farmers, people of the earth. Because when Christianity came into vogue in the Roman Empire with the conversion of Constantine, all of a sudden it became the politically correct thing to do to become a Christian. Because the emperor is now Christian, and all of the emperor's men are all Christian. So now it has become rather popular to become a Christian. We don't know what it means. We haven't got the faintest idea. All we know is that at the parties and cocktail parties, they're all Christians. So we go with the flow, and so therefore anyone who isn't in the scheme of things here in Rome, and a Christian is a pagan, or meaning that the poor working class people out there in the country, they're not elites like us in Washington, D.C. They're not very well educated like we are. And so consequently, they don't realize that the new thing on the block is to be a Christian, because Caesar is now a Christian. Therefore, the poor working class people out there, which is a Latin word meaning pagan, a Latin word called pagan.
Does Pat Robertson know this?
No, Pat Robertson really doesn't know much of anything, period. Billy Graham doesn't. And I'm just amazed at how many so-called religious leaders in this country are on the payroll.
Yeah.
And all they do is collect money and go out and have tea with the president. I think we really need to look at this whole religious establishment and start figuring out that we have offended the universe, we've offended God, we've offended the Spirit, we've offended anything that is holy, because these people are not only not telling you the truth, I don't even think they know the truth, because the Scripture says that in these days in which we're living, the blind would lead the blind, and we're all falling in the pit. I'm saying the same thing is true for taxes, government, and everything else. We're being led by blind guides who just go along to get along and tell us to go along to get along, and somewhere along the line, Americans are going to have to stand up and say, no more, we're not following anybody. We do our own homework and start standing up for what's right.
All right, now we've covered Genesis 1.
Yeah, let's go to Genesis 1:2, though. It says, and the earth was without form and void. That's not what it says in Hebrew. What it says in the actual original, the earth was without form and void, is the earth became a waste and a desolation. The earth became a waste and a desolation. It doesn't say that it was formed without form and void. And over in Jeremiah, it says, I beheld, in Jeremiah 4:23, he uses the same exact term. This is what Rabbi Antelman pointed out to me 35 years ago. In Jeremiah 4:23, it says, and Jeremiah says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Then you look in the Hebrew, and it says, I beheld the earth, and it became a waste and a desolation.
Mm.
And consequently, what the Bible is actually saying is that the earth has been destroyed many times in the past, and at the time of the creation of Adam and Eve, there are already many, many civilizations that have been here for thousands and thousands of years before, and therefore the creation of Adam and Eve was a new, doing it over again. Every now and then, God decides, the universe decides that they've had enough of the earth, and the whole thing is wiped out by some natural catastrophe, and then God has to start all over again. That's what the Bible is saying.
Mm.
This is why Rabbi Antelman pointed out to me many years ago that the Bible doesn't say God created man. Go back and it says that God recreated man. Come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What are you talking about? It doesn't say he made man. It says, come, let us make man after our likeness and our image, meaning that man's already here. It's an exciting story. That's why I'm saying the Bible is absolutely astoundingly important and brilliant in its what it's saying, and it's just open to all kinds of interesting subjects. We just don't do a whole lot of homework in Bible or government or taxes or anything else.
All right.
So the whole purpose of what I do is just to incite people to start questioning everything. That's the basis for what I do.
All right. We have some people. They may have some questions. Let's find out. Mike has been waiting the longest. Let's see what's on his mind. Mike, good morning. You're on with Jordan Maxwell.
Well, you know I question a lot of things, Lou.
I know.
Anyway, I wanted to bring up two of my favorites to him and see what his thinking was on it. I've always been interested in words and their derivations and how they get sophisticated, if you were. That's one of my favorites is sophistry, that which appears to be and is not. Being sophisticated now is supposed to be something positive, whereas it's actually appearing to be that which it's not.
I like that.
And the one that I wanted to bring up the most to you was Gnostic means knowing, and everybody mispronounces the word agnostic, which means not knowing,
mm-hmm.
as agnostic.
Yes.
I just wanted
yeah.
to point that out.
Yeah, the letter A seems to be in the Greek. when the letter A is put in front of a word in the Greek, the idea being is that it goes in the opposite direction. And the word gnosis in Greek means to know something, and the implication of the word gnosis means that I don't care what you say about this or that, I don't care what you think about this person or that person, I know them, already know.
Right, and that is the basis for the Gnostics, and that was about the time when you're talking about where the translations get blurred and,
yes.
and some of the other things where they had literal meanings. And those means, have been lost, or
Absolutely.
Glossed over and redone and retranslated.
Well, let me explain to the audience Gnosis.
I'll go ahead and get off and listen to you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for being there, though, Mike.
Thank you, Jordan.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. There are those times, and it happens all the time in all of our lives, when you'll hear somebody pontificating about a subject or about a person or about something. You know, you'll hear somebody on the radio talking about how we've got to pay our taxes and the country depends on our income taxes. But people like Irwin Schiff can sit there and intelligently explain to you, this is a bunch of bull. Go back and do your homework. And then you find out that the whole thing was a misunderstanding. Well, the same thing is true in everything in life. You can hear different stories, but in your gut you know certain things because of your own experiences in life, because of your research, because of your study of a subject. You know, not think or believe, but you know certain things. And as I said, maybe somebody tells you about a friend of yours and says, well, I've heard this and this and that about him. And you say, look, I know the person personally. Have you ever met him? No. Well, I know him, and that is not true. I know him. The whole idea is Gnostic or Gnosis in Greek means to actually know something for sure as opposed to what everybody else thinks or believes. Well, we all do that. You know, you say, well, of course, the Christians believe this, but I know that that's not true in my heart. Or the Islamics teach this or that, but I know that that's not true, or I know this and that. So the idea being Gnostic means to know as opposed to what everybody else might believe. Therefore, putting an A in front of a word in Greece, in the Greek language, implied it's going backwards. So consequently, if Gnostic is to know something in your heart and know something is true, the word agnostic means I'm not sure, I don't know. It doesn't mean that agnostics are not, in theological terms, an agnostic is not an atheist. A theist is one who believes in God. An atheist, there it is again, the A. Atheist means there is no God.
All right, now I got one for you that I'd like to have a pretty good description of. It's a fairly common word, as a matter of fact, Jordan. What do you have to say about the term amen?
Now, amen,
I couldn't resist.
Is not Greek, so consequently the A is not important here in that way. Amen was the name of the sun in the ancient Egyptian. The Egyptians called the sun, one of the names of the sun, a very prominent name for the sun in Egypt, was Amen-Re, from which we get our word Ra, or Ray, sun ray, Ra, which gives us hoorah, hooray. The whole idea that the sun was a ray, or Amen-Re. And the Egyptians, when they would worship the sun at the end of their prayers, because the Egyptians even said, and all of the ancient peoples worshiped the sun in one way or another, all of them said, and our reference works would tell you, none of these ancient cultures believed the sun was God. They knew that God was a divine presence in the universe that no one could understand or know, but that his offspring, his boy, his offspring, which represented him, was what we call the son. This is why when you have a boy, he is your son. He's the offspring. So therefore, whatever you do to my son, you've done to me. Whatever you do to my, you know, my offspring, you've done it to me. Therefore, the ancient Egyptians said that no one can see God, but we can see his offspring, his son. And his son's name was Amun-Re, or Amen-Ra. Therefore, when you pray to God, you pray to God, the Father, but you send the prayers through his son. His son will talk to him, not you. So therefore, you send the prayers through his son, and his name is Amen-Re. So therefore, you send God, the Father, a prayer through his son, and you say amen. So consequently, when Christians say amen to a prayer, that's an Egyptian sun worship, or it's Egyptian sun term.
Interesting. All right, we got to do that one last time out. Let us do it and get it behind us. Again, Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell is our guest. We're coming your way from AM 1230 KLAV in Las Vegas, 731-1230. If you're far away, it's 702. Let's hear the following, and we'll come right back.
At 3230 East Flamingo Road, number 8, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121.
Inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, back for the final portion, 8 minutes to go. Lou Epton with Jordan Maxwell this morning here at AM 1230 KLAV. And, Jordan, before we go back to the phones, we do have people waiting. Is there some comments you would care to make while we still have time?
Very quickly, the word, and Genesis 9:1, we come across something interesting. Genesis 9:1 in the Bible says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, quote, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, end quote. And so I've asked the rabbis, I've gone to the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Studies and sat there days on end going through the Hebrew reference works on words and terms.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere I look, the word replenish is correct. It's a correct term. It was correctly translated where God said to Noah after the flood of Noah's day, he says to Noah and his sons, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And so I asked the rabbis, What are we talking about replenish? Re means do again.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Then they tell me, the rabbi said, well, go back to Genesis 1:28. And it says, and God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Do it again. Replenish means do again.
Uh-huh.
Why? Well, look at, in Genesis 4:14 and 15, we're told that Cain kills his brother Abel.
Yeah.
And God is throwing him out of the paradise situation that they were in. And here's what Cain said to God in Genesis 4:14 and 15. He says, quote, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto Cain, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest anyone out there should find him and kill him. End quote. And I'm saying, wait a minute. If Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel are the only four people on the earth, and Cain kills his brother, now there's only three. And
right.
God says, because you killed your brother, I'm putting you out. And Cain says to God, don't put me out there, because everybody out there, what they find me, they're going to kill me.
Uh-huh.
And now he's got God believing there's somebody out there, because God says, no, I'm not going to let them kill you. I'll put a mark on you so if they find you, they won't kill you. My question is, who are they?
My question is, who did he marry? Well, think about it.
Well, I know. And it says he was sent out into the land of Nod, in which he found his wife, and I'm saying, wait a minute, he found a wife out there?
Yeah.
Well, where was Nod? I don't know.
All right. You know, I wish right now we either had hours to go, which we don't, or I could get you over here and we could get several hundred people together, because we're only skimming the surface when we start speaking of translations and the real meaning of various terms and symbols.
Lou, I'll tell you, I would love that, because there are so many things that are profoundly important that we have not been told. I mean, Irwin Schiff is just one classic example of one man who has, quote, done his homework.
Absolutely.
Once you start doing your study and research, you will find that the subjects which you have never been told about that exist in the Bible and in life, you've never been told the real story about the profoundness of the life we live. Things which are happening all around us in the world, you've never been told.
Yeah.
I love doing that. I'd love to come over and stay. I just got back from Philadelphia, where I did 8 hours on a sitting. I just sat in front of an audience for 8 hours with breaks and just talked about stuff that no one's ever heard of before. I would love to do that.
Let's see if we can arrange something. If we've got any listeners out there that are in agreement, my voicemail, 593-3270, here in the Southern Nevada area. Let's take one quick call while we still have time. Let's go and see what Bert would like to add to the program. Bert, are you there? And if so, go for it.
Yeah, just a quick question. Has Jordan ever studied the Mormon doctrine? And if so, what he thinks of it?
What a subject to speak on for 1 minute. Profound stuff in Mormonism. I would like to do a whole hour just on that one subject of the occult connections between the Mormon Church and Freemasonry and the Masonic connections with the ancient Babylonian, Phoenician, Canaanite system. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
Their structures are all but identical, aren't they?
Well,
I mean, compared to the Masonic structure and the Mormon structure, it's when you get to the very top of that pyramid, the things you're going to find out could be very unnerving.
Well, it's even equally as unnerving to the Seventh-day Adventists, Christadelphians, especially Jehovah's Witnesses.
Huh.
There is a very Masonic order, but most unhappily, most Jehovah's Witnesses do not know of the Freemasonic connection and where the money came from for Charles Tess Russell. We need to do some homework, folks.
We need to get you back on these airwaves in the very near future. Better than that, we need to get you here in our community.
I would love that.
We can really spend some time.
Lou, you and I have done it many times privately. I'd love to do it all day on a seminar.
Some of the most fascinating periods of my existence, and I'm not just saying that. I truly mean it. Things I would have never thought of, things like most of us that I have taken for granted, I find out have very profound meanings. The symbolism that exists throughout our society, where it came from, and on, I don't even know why I'm so interested. Maybe it's because someday I'd really like to know the truth. As strange as that may be. Jordan Maxwell, we thank you sincerely for spending the time with us. We will pursue the idea of getting you over here and doing a seminar. I think it would be extremely well attended, but let's find out for sure. In the meantime, you take care. We'll talk again soon, and sincerely, thank you very much.
Goodbye, my friend.
And take care. Let me take a moment. I want to thank Lou Hawk, our producer. He screens the calls, runs the board, and makes snide remarks off the air. Mostly, and as always, I want to thank each and every one of you out there for taking the time spending it with us. Lou Epton here. Hey, have as good of a day as you can, won't you? And join us. We're coming back tomorrow morning, same time, same place. And tomorrow morning, we're going to be hearing things you haven't heard that have been going on at the Republican National Convention. Our very special guest, I understand, will be Carl Limbacher. So make a note.